Welcome back. David, hello.
Yes, hi Ian, yeah, it's interesting. I'm quite pleased that the BBC has been stung with this report, because after watching them and their coverage of the Iraqi war, it's quite clear to me that they've been colouring and shaping the whole scene.
Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of liberals, could it?
Exactly. So it's a question of when you're watching it, you get a discernment, or you've either got the discernment or you haven't. So I'm not surprised at all. And they've been ducking it and attempting to shift the emphasis to everybody else. But anyway, now Don Brash's comments were intelligent, insightful, and thoughtfully reasoned. And that you get this organized, predictable response is a symptom of the very condition that he outlined. But because you get such a response, that is not a reason to run away from the issue. Quite the opposite. It's a time for firming up.
Mm.
Because, of course, in terms of bringing perspective and balance to some of these questions, and this is the thing that we New Zealanders were trying to avoid. We don't want the unpleasantness, and we don't. But if we have to go through it, then we have to go through it. Simple as that. Because you cannot in a modern society elevate any particular race into a position of exclusivity or constitutional preeminence. It has to be one system, one law, one government system for all New Zealanders, with all the rights and responsibilities of citizenship applicable to all.
Look, I think one of the key things, and it's crystallising in my mind as I think about it, one of the most offensive things about the Treaty of Waitangi is not the redressing of grievances. It is the anti-democratic, not quite the right word, but it is the concept that we've already got a problem with a government that's out of control, lording it over us, we the people. And they want to add to that by giving us Tiffany O'Regan and Graham Latimer to lord it over us as well in some sort of unholy alliance. And that, I think, is the most offensive thing. It's the whole partnership idea is an anachronism that never existed in the 1840s, should not exist now, and which is offensive to common sense.
No, they're definitely, they're sailing very close to the wind. And of course, this whole business with the foreshore primarily is about shoring up Labour Party political support.
Mm.
That's what it comes down to. That's certainly high on the agenda, but they're sailing close to the wind, and they're warping the constitutional system. But actually, the treaty you published, the Littlewood Treaty, do you know that's very, very close to the explanation of the Treaty of Waitangi published by Sir Abiranata?
I didn't know that.
I've got a historical book that published in the 20s by him, and of course it is explaining the treaty, both the English and the Maori, which essentially are the same thing, but he comes to very much the same conclusions as what I've been hearing about the Littlewood Treaty.
You see, I think what happened is we simply opened up in academia a chance for some pointy-headed people to make a lot of money by basing their entire careers on selling their theories to the highest bidder, and the highest bidder politically has been Labour because its constituency is Māoridom, and they feel, hey, look, if we can sell them something, you know, we're going to keep on winning the votes, blah, 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 and it's become this dog-eat-dog scenario, and we're not getting the truth because the academics don't want to give us the truth.
Exactly, and as you say, of course, there's no problem in respect of legitimate historical matters and historical claims. I mean, that's the basis of an open, free society, that
we'll
fearlessly look into these things and put what we can right.
Well, the way I read the Littlewood Treaty, and if that's correct, the Māori version of the treaty as it was originally intended, is the treaty is protecting the property rights of all the citizens, Māori and Pākehā of New Zealand, from the rapacity of other agencies and so forth. And anything that enshrines property rights has got to be good. But, the way it's being interpreted now, it's a joke. Thanks for your call, 25 away from 9.
Mega Fino, wrapping up second leg of...
Welcome back, New Zealand. I'm Ian Wishart. This is Radio Pacific. We are a nation of layabouts, according to official studies out today. We're not exercising enough. We don't have the time. I was watching TV1 News tonight covering the story and seeing all these gym bunnies, and I was thinking to myself as I watched them, if you've got time to go to the gym, you don't have a life. That is the problem. There are too many people out there who have too much time on their hands, and there are a lot of us who don't have any time on our hands, and there seems to be no middle ground. Am I wrong in this? You tell me. How easy is it to keep fit in this modern age? How easy is it to find time to exercise? How easy is it to eat well when surveys show that we're eating 3 or 4 takeaway meals a week on average now? Give us a call, 0800-309-399, 0800-309-399. I'd love to debate this with you. Give us a call.
The Nine.
Welcome back. It is 20 minutes away from 9 right now. And Dave, hello.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, Ian, after all this time. Sorry about that.
Likewise.
Ian, I wanted to talk about diet. There was a thing that occurred on the Los Angeles Times website on the 12th of January. But just before I do, there was an item on TV News tonight about this copying of this Boeing, this Air New Zealand manual.
Yep.
I'd like to say that manual originally is Boeing's, and Air New Zealand used to, and all the airlines do, just change the odd word and that sort of thing and put Air New Zealand at the top of the page. So I sort of laughed when I heard that, and just how much of it's Air New Zealand's input into the manuals after all these years, I don't know. For example, you've got to change pounds, which they still work in the USA, to kilograms and that sort of thing. So there we are. And I think Air New Zealand might be clutching at straws, even though it's got their name on it. Now, this diet thing, this is quite incredible what I read. A Professor David Bassett of University of Tennessee did some research with Amish people, which would be fair enough. So he took an Amish community in Ontario, in Canada, of all things, and another group in the USA. This group in Ontario, Canada, they had a diet that was high in fat, calories, and refined sugar. The obesity rate was 4% compared to the 31% of general U.S. population, and growing, of course. The reason was exercise. So he fitted pedometers on these adults in this community, and the men averaged 18,000 steps a day and the women 14,000. Most of the U.S. struggled to achieve recommended 10,000 steps a day. He found also that the rates of obesity in the other Amish communities, particularly in the States, who in these ones particularly had moved away from farming, and their obesity rate had gone up. And what he's saying is our genes have not caught up to our diets and ways of living. At the Amish village, snacking is practically non-existent. And to me, that sort of summed up the whole thing. I mean, here were these original ones in Canada, high in fat, calories, and refined sugar. Pure and simply, it was exercise.
Yeah, I'm beginning to lean towards that belief too, that, you know, it's not necessarily what you're eating or the amount of it, obviously that plays a part, but if you are not getting the exercise, if you're no longer involved in manual work, then chances are your body's not processing it in the way that it used to.
Well, that's exactly it. And I was a bit sedentary for a while until last year, and then by accident I got involved in doing some circular distributions, even though that's a wee bit against my sort of aspect of littering and what have you. But, boy, I lost some weight all right, particularly if I carried most of the stuff, and it's a 6-kilometre walk 2 or 3 times a week, which, you know, each time.
Yep.
And so that added to either 12 or 18 kilometres a week. I know a very close friend of mine that had a heart problem, he had a stroke and all sorts of things. He does 10 kilometres walk a day and he's never felt fitter in his life. He's in his 70s now.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing though. I mean, it's difficult for those of us, you know, locked into to the workforce and everything else involved to find time in this busy world to exercise.
That's right, Ian. Unfortunately, I think it's just one of those things where people are just going to say, hang on a minute, I want half an hour, I'm going out.
I need the space. Yeah, you're dead right. You've got to make time. Thanks for that. Let's develop that theme. 0800-309-399, 0800-309-399. How do you find time? How do you portion off an area of the day when you're exhausted already? How do you do it? Give me a call.
What was the Christian name of Prime Minister?
Radio Pacific, 0800 309 399. It is 30 minutes away from 9. There does have to be more to life. Give us a call, 0800 309 3099. I'm Ian Wishart. This is Radio Pacific. And Phil, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon again. Well, good evening. Hey, fitness. I 15 years ago, I used to have the opportunity of running about 10Ks at lunchtime.
Yep.
An hour's lunch break. However, since I started running my own business, well, I don't get the privilege of having an hour's lunch break. I'm lucky if I get half an hour. And I think that's probably a lot of the problems with the current economy, that you end up working a lot longer and a lot harder. You don't have that that ability to take the time out which you used to have. I still very much enjoy my running. I don't do anywhere near what I used to do. I was trying to do about 40, 50, 60Ks a week. But I find the only thing that you can do is you've got to actually set aside a particular time. In my case, it's Tuesday evenings, and I get out there and do 10Ks. And Sunday morning, in the time that you used to sort of sit there lying in bed and maybe having your breakfast, you could actually get out there and do a bit of exercise, and you'd be back there before, you know, really your Sunday morning's actually kicking off, which might kick off about 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It's an attitude problem.
It is an attitude problem. It's also, I think, an exhaustion problem. It's a chicken and egg one, really, because, you know, one of the reasons you're exhausted, I guess, is because you're not fit.
It's a willingness to get out there and do it, but to give you some idea, in the Palms Little Theory there, I was involved in running the Super 7 Series, which is 7 kilometres for every Tuesday night. Last Tuesday was the second night of the series. We had 450 people turn up to do 7 kilometres walk or run, which is an absolute record. It's never happened before. The best we ever got to was about 350.
Yeah.
Last year we had something over the 7 nights, about just on 2,000 people. So there is plenty of opportunity. It's actually organised walks, which drives people to get out there and do it. And of course, last Tuesday night at Palmerston North, it was a brilliant day. It was probably, I think, temperature was 25, 26 degrees. In the evening, it was still about 25 degrees, so it was a hell of a hot
evening.
It gets people motivated. We just couldn't believe the response. And as a club, we find that the majority of people actively taking part in these sort of sporting activities are typical middle-aged. You hardly find anybody under 30. It's really generating the age between 30 and 50. There's quite a few people who are in their 60s and 70s who are still participating in it.
Well, the other thing too, of course, is you've got the generation under 30 who are getting heavily obese these days, the kids at high school even, well overweight, to the point where, it doesn't necessarily show, you know, hugely, but by, you know, the extra few kilos you're carrying at the age of 18 or 19 are going to make a big difference by the time you sort of 35.
Oh, exactly, yeah. So I was shocked to see my cousin, my nephew from Singapore, in an environment where totally everything is related to, they don't really have any sporting activities in Singapore.
Yep.
He's about, 12, 13 or 14, something like that, I can't remember his age. But geez, he had a gut ming which is it's quite remarkable. You'd think it'd be a beer gut there from a guy who's sort of 20 or 30 or something like that. And he's a kid who's just sort of starting high school.
Well, the other thing too with kids, of course, is the PlayStation and Nintendo, the Xbox. The computer games are all taking up now and adding to the burden that's already there with television, and kids are just not getting any exercise. Their fingers and thumbs are getting exercised, nothing else.
Well, that's exactly the situation he has. You know, living in Singapore with an environment. The ironic part about it is his father is into triathlons in a big way, and he's as skinny as a matchstick. But that's, again, it's a person of the world. But I think the problem is that you're seeing it as a sedentary lifestyle for kids at a high school who don't really partake in a lot of sporting activities, and this is the end result, whereas you look at all his cousins and everything, and they're all skinny as bean poles because they're out there running and doing exercising and biking to school and you know, all those other activities. It just helps to take the fat off the body.
Just keep you toned. I mean, Heidi and I got rid of the Nintendo that we bought the kids a few years back because it just dominated. You know, a Saturday afternoon could be spent, the entire bunch of them, playing games on the TV. And nothing. No exercise. It was just mindless.
We live in a rural situation, so I think our kids are probably not quite the normal situation of the majority of New Zealand kids.
Yeah.
They have a lot more exercise, but you do start to worry and wonder when you see a lot of the town kids are quite fat. I think the athletic scale of charts are used for kids for the 100 metres and 60 metres and all their athletic abilities shows that quite a few kids are well below the performance that they should be attaining at their particular age.
Yeah, I agree with you, and that's something we need to address. Thanks for your call. We'll discuss this more during the evening. It is 7 away from 9. This is Radio Pacific.